Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered, from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at preppernet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at preppernet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
Survive. Thrive. Stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
Hello, Prepping Academy members. I am Forrest. We got a wonderful guest with us this evening. And you've seen her, heard her, you've got her books. You know who she is. She's like family to you. So it is the Shelby Gallagher of the Glenn Tate and Shelby of the Prepping 2.0 podcast, which is, if you guys know, you remember, I published just about 3 weeks ago the best podcast online, and that was number one. I don't even know if Shelby knows that. I was driving, just a quick story, for about 12 hours, and I was trying to get podcasts, and I really couldn't find good content podcast. And I narrowed it down to two podcasts, and the Prepping 2.0 was number one on my list. So I have in the house right now, Shelby Gallagher from the Prepping 2.0 and the better half of the Glenn Tate twosome.
Good to be here. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I'm glad we were able to put this together.
Yeah. Well, I've interviewed Glenn many times, and the show was just bombed every time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He won't listen to this, will he?
I can make sure he doesn't.
Okay. But I've never had you on, just you. So this is your time to shine. You will become rich and famous after this, I'm sure. So, hey, and in the mail, I got just the other week, this book, Prepping. It's called Food Preps 2.0 by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. And I have started reading. I actually read half of it before Christmas. You guys sent me a copy of it, and I read some of it, and then Christmas happened, and now I got the entire book, and I'm excited for this book. I'm excited for you guys. So if you don't mind, tell us about yourself, and just don't say I'm the other half of Glenn. Everyone knows that you're the better half of Glenn, but tell us about yourself and how you got into prepping and got into podcast. And now you've been an author, but this is the first Glenn and Shelby book.
Yeah, it is. So we've joked about we can't get divorced or anything because we have a book together. No, I'm joking. But gosh, to go back to your question, how did I get started prepping? That's a couple of decades ago. What got me prepping is, if we go all the way back to the mid 2000 and somethings, like I always forget the year when Katrina happened, mm-hmm. Hurricane Katrina. We all saw that because the news agencies just made sure we watched that for days and days. And it was a crazy catastrophe for those who weren't around or don't remember that. But I remember very specifically a news agency, they were, you know, walking around interviewing people that were just in dire straits. And I remember a news agency sticking a microphone in one person's face and asking, you know, how are you getting along? And this person said, we got canned goods. We've got some propane. We've got a grill. We're good. Go to the next house and help them out. And then they stick a microphone in another person's face. And this gentleman was mad. I've paid my insurance bills. I pay my taxes. Why isn't somebody here to help us? Mm. And I remember distinctly thinking, I want to be the first guy.
Right.
And I want to be able to say, I don't need help because I've taken care of what we have here. And that's really what got me started. And I started out very much like how I describe in my book series called A Great State, that single mom trying to, you know, putting things aside on a really small budget. And I did that for years and years, and I still do that. And how to do that, not all at once, not this panicky kind of prepping, but just this kind of lifestyle of prepping. And then, gosh, it was in mid 2016, 2017, two things happened. We have a new president that at the time that nobody liked. And two, the collapse in Venezuela, where the stories come out, and that was an instant collapse, an instant, almost overnight economic collapse. And suddenly I'm reading stories about professional women, women who are, you know, bankers and doctors, and are suddenly having to sadly prostitute themselves and their children to feed themselves. And it really struck me. And as a Christian, it really struck me, you know, we need to take care of the women, and the children. And when women and children do not have options, don't have someone taking care of them, unfortunately, very tragically, hard decisions like that have to be made. And it's sad. And I just remember thinking at the time, my goodness, if our welfare system that takes care of so many women and children collapses, we are going to be right there with Venezuela. So that's what really prompted me to write the books. And then, you know, I met this guy named Glenn, and and it kind of grew from there. And then a couple of years into us being together, we joke about this on our show. He says, we should do a podcast. How hard can it be? Well, it's hard. And it was so hard that it delayed my third book being published, because it took a month or two to get that thing off the ground. So yeah, and we've been doing Prepping 2.0, gosh, 3-4 years now, and it grows and grows, and it changes as the times have changed. And I feel really privileged that we've been doing this through some really crazy times in our recent history, through COVID, through riots, through, gosh, crazy things that are happening all around us. And the message is always the same: stay prepared. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah. So you are the author of The Great State. It's a 3-book series.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got The Divide, The Aftermath, and The Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that based on your life or based on just something that came to your head?
A little bit of both. So kind of the single mom aspect of it, the locations that I talk about are very familiar to me. People always ask me, where was this at? And it's kind of like, you know, Pierce Point out of Glenn's books. I'm not going to tell. It was out of that. And I have to say, the character in my books, Floyd, who is the father figure in the book, he is my dad. That was based on a family cabin out in the woods. And that for a long time was my bug out location. Like if I need to leave where I'm at, that's where I'm going. And he and I talked about that quite a bit. And he said, yep, I was prepared to do that as well. And so it was kind of cool to talk about that. The aspect of the story that does not apply to me is this rescuing of this child. And that's where the rescue, the aftermath comes from. But that comes from my Christian roots. We live in a culture where children are marginalized, children are trafficked, children are harmed, children are, and it's not just here in America. I think it's actually better in America for children. When you look at how children are treated in other cultures, it's actually much more tragic. But I mean, Christian values came out, and that's where you see the male character Ned say, children are a blessing. Mm-hmm. We need to make the extra effort to go above and beyond. That's where I wanted to have that pro-life, pro-moral compass come out without being, you know, preachy. And that was very fictional, if that answers your question. But it also reveals my values on how I feel about human life.
And so now you and Glenn are officially married, because now you have a book with your names on it.
Yes. Yes.
You can't go back. You can't go back now.
Nope.
So what motivated you guys to write Food Preps 2.0? And I love the carryover from the podcast,
mm-hmm.
the 2.0. the next level, you know, it's get past the basics.
Yep.
And what motivated you guys to one, write a book together, and then two, focus it on, I mean, it's like the end all book to food preps. It's everything you need.
It's the whole package. This started like three and a half years ago in the middle of COVID, where we're kind of stuck at home and doing the prepping thing because that's what we do. And we had long discussions about this. People need to know that being prepared isn't just having some canned beans on your shelf. There's a whole lot of things that go with that. And we just kind of sat down and spoke out and wrote out the outline. We even did a few shows, more than one show, on just the outline itself. And you'll notice it's not when you purchase the book, it's not very thick. These are all high points. Like when we talk about, let me just open up, dehydrating. We're not going to go through a step-by-step guide on how to dehydrate, but we're going to give it to you as one of your options for food preservation. It's not just all canning. It's not just all dehydrating. You have several options there that you need to consider as you put this all together. So that's what got us motivated, and we were putting it together. And then honestly, time got in the way. Writing is very time consuming. And then we made the silly choice of, well, some of them were made for us. You know, Glenn got this silly thing called cancer. And we had to, and that shelved it for a little while. Then we moved during that cancer year, which I'm glad we did, but it was a lot. And then we got a lot of it written when he was kind of recovering from all of that after the big move. And then he got COVID. So we recovered from that. So then it was like, no, we need to do this. We've talked about it enough. Let's get this thing over the finish line. And that's what we spent a good part of last year getting done. So this has been a labor of love through a lot of hardships and crazy things in our life. And it feels good to get over the finish line. So, yeah.
So when I read it, I was looking through it and I skimmed to the end because I haven't finished reading it. But you guys, I mean, this is like the, I always say that the medicine handbook that Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy wrote is like the complete guide, the medical. You really don't need anything else. It is the guide. And I think that this book is kind of the guide when it comes to food, because not only do you hit all areas of the food. And I mean, it's like it's the complete guide. You get into calories, you get into hunting, you get into fishing, you get into MREs, you hit the whole gamut. So just answer this one question. Does Glenn actually get in the garden and like hoe or do anything in the garden?
No. He does not. No, No, that's my bailiwick. That's what I do. No, but he appreciates that I do it and he loves eating what comes out of it, but he won't. I mean, if he comes and helps me, he like comes and walks over with me and chats with me while I'm doing it, you know, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's great. But you get into in the very first part about, you get into the cost of the food, the shelf life, how to rotate it, the calories, the sawdust that you got to put into it, and the store. Oh, did I add that in?
I think you might have, but yeah, you could certainly, you know, if we go back to Laura Ingalls Wilder days, it might be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's better options. Yep.
Yeah. But you get in, I mean, it is the complete guide. And yes. So why were you wanting to get a book that literally, and it covers everything. I mean, some people do books just on dehydrating.
Right.
Or whatever, but you guys get in and it's amazing. I think when people read this, they're going to need way more food than they think.
Absolutely.
You go through all that.
Especially when you look at the calorie needs. Oh my gosh. It should strike you as, oh my gosh, I need to do more than I'm doing. And that's where that moment of overwhelmingness comes in. But that's where we felt the need to write this, because I think so many people get into prepping and to them, and this makes sense. There's no wrong in this, but I just need to fill my pantry up more and put some more things, some shelves in my garage and add some more things to that. And then suddenly you're like, wait a minute, I need to now fill up closet space and basement space. And then you get into, because it kind of gets ahead of you. Oh my gosh, I need to organize it. I don't know where my canned beans are now. I don't know where my canning supplies are. So if you are just kind of new into prepping and you're just getting started, I love that we start out with storage space and storage solutions first. And if you haven't done that, that's okay. Stop where you are and start with organizing first, because as you just keep adding to your preps, if you're not keeping track of them, what'll happen is, and this is based on what we've talked about with some of our supporters and fans, is they've done either trial runs having to bug out of their home, or they've had to bug out mainly because the people I'm thinking of are because of forest fires. They're being told to evacuate. You need to be able to grab what you need that you know that you have, get it in a truck or trailer, and haul out of there within like sometimes less than 30 minutes, maybe even 10 or 15. If you're sorting through, do we need these beans or this toothpaste or this or that? It makes that ability to bug out, you're starting to get into levels of danger. So there's reasons for having that organization first, and that's why we started with think about being organized first so that you can bug out quickly and know how to get your hands on what you need quickly. What if you have for and going back to Dr. Jones and Nurse Amy, what if you need a tourniquet right now? And that's where moments really count, and you have forgotten where in the garage, where in the shed is your med kit, you know? Yeah, it's
So I
important.
love the idea, the fact that you started out with storage, because I've been in the group for 24 years now. We have food that is as bad now, in a sense. But when we started, we were not thinking one bit about organization, about one bit. We put a label rice, for buckets, or, and now we're like, okay, what year is that? Okay, I think these buckets are when we all got together. So they're 25, 24 years old at this point. But I tell you, since then, I'd say for 12 years now, we've been really organized about our food, putting in a spreadsheet, labeling, everything, because things go bad. And the food management for our group has been a nightmare.
Yeah.
But now they got a handle on it now, but it's been, I mean, so the actual managing it, I mean, there were times that we were like, okay, we know we have something, where would it be? And if you could imagine the storage space for a lot of people, I mean, it's massive.
Right.
It's more than like it's like 4 or 5,000 square feet massive. And I tell people that, and they're like, "What?" I'm like, "You wouldn't believe how much food you need." But so that was great that you guys started out with the organization and the labels, and because you got to start there. If you don't, it's going to get overwhelming, and
Real
you're not going
quick.
to know, where the beans are.
Exactly.
And then also we remember we hid candy in some of the buckets. So we would do the Mylar bags, put rice in there or whatever, and we put candy in it, so that we would have a treat when we opened that. And then it got to the point where we're like, okay, where's all the candy? And so, but yes, I did appreciate that. And you get into one thing about the book, and about, I think, that y'all's mindset is a lot of people, they're just preppers. Preppers buy food and store food.
Right.
Then there are people that are more like self-sufficient, meaning, hey, we can grow some food too, and can some food, and do a mixture. And your book is a mixture of all the different blends. You even have MREs. That is unheard of, that someone would be talking about MREs when it comes to food preps, but we know it is part of a food prep, right?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
so,
Go
go
ahead.
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things I say a lot on our show, and I've said for years and years, yes, you can prep, and I encourage you to prep and have a food supply. But once you get to that food supply, and especially in your situation where you have multiple people and you have tons of square space, space becomes the issue. At some point, you have to pivot and get to the point where we are not only prepping, but we are self-sustaining so that if we're in a, like Venezuela, if we are in a long-term collapse situation, we can create and find our own food. And then when you're in that situation, you need to preserve it for long periods of time. And so, yeah, part one of our book, and I'm looking right now in the table of contents, which is available online, kind of like the first part is, yeah, you can do it. The second part is your food preps. The third part, part three, is preservation. And it's, like I said earlier, it's not just all canning. It's not just all dehydrating. It's everything that so that you can kind of pick and choose as your skill level is and try to get kind of good at them and at least be familiar with each option that you have. It's not just one or two things. There's actually quite a few, especially with technology these days, quite a few ways to save and not just save, excuse me, preserve your food for a long period of time.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Yeah, so there's dehydrating, which doesn't last as long as freeze-dried. And then you have buckets, and some of the buckets have different years. So the organization, you're going to lose a lot of money if you're not organized with a lot of food. I'm just going to say. Because I don't know how long dehydration lasts, but it can't last more than a few years, can it?
My understanding is it can, and it a lot of those, it goes with canning too, depends on how you're storing it. It can't be stored where you have extreme temperature changes, just like you're canning foods. Spices certainly can last a long time. But yeah, when you're talking about like beef jerky or something like that, it's going to probably be right in the range of something that you've canned. I'm going to say 3 to 5 years max. I think you're pushing it at that point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, freeze-dried food, according to the freeze dryer companies out there, Harvest Right is the big one. We have an affiliate account with them. 20 to 25 years, keeping its flavor and its nutritional value. We use it a lot. Yeah.
And so you've got to have this all mapped out. MREs, probably by the, if you buy real military MREs, they're close to expiring already. Yeah. We know that there's an extended shelf life to that, but everything has a little a different, even canned goods.
Right.
They, I mean, there has to be a shelf life on them, correct?
There is. And it's funny. I get asked this a lot. There's what the companies say on this can that they stamp on the can, and then there's reality. So I have my anecdotal story that I always tell, and then, you know, then wisdom has to jump in and be wise. So all of us know about Glenn Tate's the basement, you know, the basement at the cabin, and that was a real place. And when we moved from there, Shelby got to empty out the basement, which was, and that was, that place was decked out, prepped. Do not get me wrong. Glenn is a prepper. So they, in there, here's my example, couple of number 10 tin cans of fruits, specifically mandarin orange, I remember were dinged, but he had labeled them 2008. So at the time, I want to say they're like 12 years old. And I thought, well, this is a good experiment. Let's go, let's take one of these bad boys home and open it up. And it was fine. So that was one, outdated, and two, a dinged can, because I wanted to just see. And I ate them. We all ate them, and they were fine. Same thing, similar thing, I should say, with pancake mix, you know, Glenn Tate and pancake mix. He had had in his preps pancake mix that was in a Mylar, kind of Krusty's was the brand from Costco. And I thought, if anything's going to go bad, it's this, because it's super old. It was fine. So I think it's the conditions being in that basement where we have a kind of very controlled temperature really helped that. I think more and more these days you're seeing companies put on their cans best if used by, not expired. I hear some of the stories I've read in accounts out of Bosnia is that they were eating canned tuna there that was 20 years old from like several decades before. So I think with canned food, be careful. but don't just start throwing food out. But rotate. I mean, how do you avoid all of this is rotate your food. If I'm going to buy some tuna, canned meat or something this year, I'm going to rotate out what I have in there from a year ago. If you're rotating your food, this conversation is not important, you know, in that sense. So that's definitely part of prepping, rotate your food out. And we're doing that right now with frozen meat that we have.
Finding that we, since we don't live at our retreat, we actually have a physical retreat and there's not enough people to eat the expiring food. I know that's the sad part. And we offer for people to take it home. And then we've offered it to some food banks and they're like, and then we'll open it and they'll look at it and they go, okay, this looks good. I mean, because even though rice should last forever,
right,
once you get past 20 years, it's not that much cost to replace rice.
Correct.
So the food bank near our retreat has at least 8 years of rice that they can
cook. There you go. Well, and let me throw this out there. When it comes to rice, like, yeah, that's definitely a concern. So one thing you can do, because you're like, I don't want to throw away good food. I mean, if it's still okay, pretty good, cook it. Freeze dry it, mix it with some vegetables, and you've just created dog food. And you can freeze dry it, and now you have dog food.
I wonder if you could like store some stuff for like 20 years, then cook it, and then freeze dry it, and like literally store the food again for another 20 years.
I've done that with canned food where I've taken applesauce and I freeze dried it. So I have like almost like applesauce Cheetos, and then I've prepped it. Yep. I've done that.
That's crazy. You're eating food that was literally 40 years old.
It's still good. Yeah.
And still good. So, and you get into livestock and about how to, you know, cause livestock's a part of food as well. So you get, I mean, that's the thing. So preppers, they buy their food and they store it. Mm-hmm. Homesteaders, self-sufficient, other people, they'll grow food, can it and store it. But the best is a mixture, because if you think you're just going to grow all your food during the worst times in your life and all chaos is going on, you're kind of very optimistic.
Yes, you are. And
you don't want to put your life at risk by just saying, we'll just grow our food while everyone in the world's looking for food. But you guys, I mean, that's why I like the book is The Complete Guide. Why don't you have that on the cover? The Complete Guide.
Yeah, we should do that with our, maybe if we do a new edition. There you go. I'll say that. It's interesting what you were just saying about how if I had to rely on myself, this is how far we've come, Forrest. If I had to rely on myself and my hunting and gardening skills to survive, like, I would be a whole lot, many pounds lighter and I would be not in good health. It makes you really appreciate the homesteaders and the pioneers in our country that was the lifestyle. And you realize how far we've come from some of our hardy roots. And I do caution people. I mean, I hear like where we live in Western Montana, I can step outside my door right now. There's a flock of turkeys and deer and I can hunt. But you better be good at knowing how to butcher meat and dressing animals. And that takes practice. Mm-hmm. So get good at that. And then also, here's a really good example. My neighbor, I'm in Western Montana, so this will make more sense, came to me last weekend. I gave him some eggs, and he gave me a rack of bones from a bison he recently hunted. So I'm making meat stock right now. I've got it boiling on my stove right now. And I'm going to have bison broth soon. So, you know, this is a skill to work on, like building broth, making broth. So I have it for later, but yeah, hunting is not do not rely on your today's skill level to feed yourself and your family in an emergency collapse situation. Do not even think you can do that. Unless you are really confident. Yeah.
Same with foraging.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Foraging. I joke about this because there's foraging for plants and there's foraging for mushrooms. And we've joked about it because we've done some shows recently on mushrooms because I've kind of gotten into it. Know what you're doing. We just had it happen here in Montana just in the last couple of weeks where very experienced mushroom foragers died because they misidentified something. Because there's always an evil twin out there. You know, something looks very similar to something else. And know what you're doing. Have a second set of eyes. Have a two or three checks. I mean, I hate to be overly cautious, but in foraging situations, you got to know what you're doing. You really do.
But I've never done the mushroom thing because it does scare me. And so but even if you go through, like, I've taken a foraging class, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in my life, I still just, you know, I'll probably end up dying if I have to live off the grass. I mean, people are like, peel this bark off and the white part. I'm like, I'm not eating that. I guess if I get hungry, maybe I'm too Americanized and I've always had it nice, but I know Selco, I'm going to interview him. They were eating, people he knew were eating leather. They would take leather shoes, soften it with water. And I guess that's a skill that you need to know just in case. Mm-hmm. But I guess I will eat bark. And in the book you mentioned from the 1 Second After Wim Fortune series, they were adding like sawdust. That was the joke in the beginning to the biscuits to make everything, you know, more people can eat the food, and no one even knew it at the time.
I have to admit, I forgot that part of the book. It's been a long time since I read his book. Oh my gosh, no. You're right. Oh, but you know. You hear these stories, I understand, and I get it. And I get in desperate times calls for desperate measures. I know that. And that's where the case for prepping, and you and I know this. Why do we need to make those kind of hard decisions when right now, if we get our act together and make sure we have skills and things put aside, we don't have to eat leather shoes. We don't. We shouldn't have to. We should know how to instead of using sawdust, using another, you know, using something else or... That these things are not something to scare us. It should be something that prompts us to make sure don't ever get to that point, right?
Yeah. And people prep for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm the weird one on the block. I don't prep because of our government, because of history repeating itself. I literally prep because Matthew 24 states that hard times are coming. There's going to be food shortages. There's going to be diseases. There's going to be a lot of natural disasters. I prep for that one reason. And all my friends and everyone, they prep for the reason of, you know, our government's going to downfall. Our dollar's going to crash. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what Matthew 24 is talking about in the Bible. But that's why I prep. But everybody has their different reasoning. And it's okay.
Absolutely. And no matter what your reasons are, you, as long as you're prepping, that's good because that means you're prepared for something and you're several feet ahead of your neighbor who isn't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're better, no matter what, whatever happens, you're better off doing it than not doing it for sure. Whatever your reasons are.
I wish I was in Montana doing it though, instead of Charlotte, North Carolina.
why do you say that? I'm curious. Why do you say that?
Well, there's a million people within like 60 miles of me. And you can't shoot a gun and hit your neighbor.
That's another good point is your prepping is going to look very different if you're in a big city as compared to the country or the suburban areas. You need to know your terrain as well. For you to bug out and get out and get away from people, it's going to be a lot harder for you than it is for me. My probably biggest concern for a collapse is honestly forest fires because we have them enough around here. Yours is probably more hurricanes, and you need to think about natural disasters too. So, yeah.
And people. So, yeah, one thing we learned at my group during the COVID thing was all our supplies were at or near our retreat. Of course, we only have like 30% on the retreat. The rest are hidden somewhere. And, but we needed some of them supplies during COVID. So we had to change our whole policy because our goal is we want you to literally be able to starve to death at home. So your goal will be to get to the retreat. That's your number one goal, to get to the retreat. So if you stay home, you'll die. So that's right. What we want everyone's motivation to get there. But then COVID came. We're like, dang, man, we sure could use some of that medicine and some of the mask and them gloves now. So we did change a little bit of our thing. But that's the good thing about a retreat as well. Or if you're bugging in, even if you're bugging in, don't have all your food on the shelf. So everyone in the world, when they come into your house, they can just literally deplete your entire food supply.
Absolutely.
A lot of Absolutely. People that bug in do that. All their food is right there. And if someone mm-hmm. penetrates their barrier, their perimeters, their food's gone. There's no recovering from that.
And you can be victimized in that too. You can just, yeah. I mean, think about what you've heard in other countries. Again, I think back to Venezuela. Think about what's happening in Ukraine right now, mm-hmm. where just people who are hungry do desperate things and they commit crimes to feed themselves. So yeah, it's sad, but that's the human mind too, when things are getting really nasty and gross.
So do you get into the water part of this with food? Because we'll get into the energy, but the water is key with all of this.
I know that we do. Where is it at? Yes. Cooking with just water, energy for cooking, all of that. We probably should have talked more about it, but gosh, water, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, if you don't know this, I'm going to give you a really big, huge piece of truth that you probably already know. Water is number one. Water is number one. Wherever you are right now, think about your water supply. Think about if it's not there. So if you live in a city and suddenly the water supply is gone, that means a city supply. And you need, I think it's harder to think about this too in a city as well, because there, it's not like you can punch a well on your property in your little home, right. You know? So you need to think about how you can possibly purify really gross water that comes maybe out of your gutter or out of, you know, a really gross place. You need to think about maybe a catchment system and how to purify it. And what's really great, this is where technology has really been on our side. There's so many great water filtration systems for purifying really putrid water. I've used a Life Straw. I know there's several brands out there. I have stood in a lake and stuck a straw in a lake water and drank it. There's some really great systems out there. So especially if you live in an urban environment, that should be your number one thing. If you live like where I live, where I have a well, I have water nearby, then it becomes more of, again, purification, but also storage. If I need to go to like a lake or a pond and get water, if you've ever carried a bucket of water across your driveway, you know how heavy and cumbersome that is. So being able to transport it, being able to purify it and use it, and think about that every human being generally needs, what is it, a gallon of water a day to drink, if not more, if you're going to stay fully hydrated, mm-hmm. that becomes your number one thing. The human body can go for several weeks without food. A human body can only go max 3 days without water, and that third day is pretty miserable. So water is number one in your preps.
So I would say water is number one, food is number two, kids are number three.
Oh, wow.
You got to have somebody carrying that water for you so you don't have to.
Exactly. Yeah. Give them, I don't know, give them some water balloons and have them go fill them up or whatever. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if you've ever carried water before, it's like a comedian I listen to a lot. He's like, digging a hole is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah.
Carrying water is very difficult. But you need kids to taste the food, make sure it's okay, and then get the water. That's what you need the kids for.
Absolutely.
And so you cover also ways to cook the food as well. And, I happen to know one way to cook food. Tell me, you have used the Sun Oven I sent you guys.
Not yet.
You haven't?
I know, isn't that awful? We've had it for so, you sent it to us just so generously.
I'm going to tell the world that you guys.
I think we just did. We might've just done that. That is on the list. I have to, and I don't want to make excuses, but holy buckets, when you move holy buckets. Yeah. So that, first of all, getting my freeze dryers up and running now that the electrician has come and done that, and getting the sun oven up and going. I know there's so many cool things we can do with that. I know exactly where it's at. I'm excited to do it. But being able to prepare your food and having multiple ways of doing that is huge. When you think about, I think about where I live, when the electricity has gone out and I can't use my oven, but I can because I have a gas oven and I can light it I can light it with a lighter, but then there's also the sun ovens. Then there's also if I can make hot water, you can make a hot meal. If you can, it's also a heat source, just being able to find those alternative ways of cooking food is huge. And sun oven is a huge one, I got to say. And I know it, I just need to try it out. I should do a video on it too, but.
I shouldn't have called you out on that.
That's okay. No, we deserve it. Truly.
We all move in and Glenn having some medical, you need to stop him from having medical issues. Okay. We've been good though.
He's been good the last 2 years. So
2 years. Yeah.
Year, I should say year, a little over year. So there was the cancer that scared wits out of us. Then there was the COVID, which really scared the wits. We really thought we lost him. And then a little over a year ago, he had a detached retina on his eye. So there was a medical emergency, but it wasn't life threatening. And that's been all repaired. So yeah, he needs to. I joke about it. I've worked so hard to keep you alive. You can't. You can't mess it.
How about a bubble suit? We need to get maybe a bubble suit or something.
Uh oh, someone's going to send us something. But yeah.
And so but cooking the food is very important. You also get into some of the recipes as well. Mm-hmm. You enjoy cooking or?
I do. I enjoy cooking a lot. It becomes a time issue for me because I love cooking things that I've prepped.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've joked about with some of our fans, I've kind of re-energized my love of fermenting. And so we've enjoyed for the last couple of weeks, some of the fermented vegetables that I've done. And fermented foods last for a long time. And in a good refrigerator. There's a little bit of a time element. Both Glenn and I have day jobs. Oops. Both Glenn and I have day jobs that make it so that, we come home and we won't shove something in the microwave. And I'd prefer not to do that. And it's interesting when you're writing the book, Glenn and I were really conscientious that we didn't want to make this into a recipe book, like a cookbook. Mm-hmm. And we made a very conscious plan to not do that because we didn't want to give that impression. But we wanted to give some sample recipes, at least something to kind of get people thinking about how you can cook with some of your prepped foods. And giving some inspiration to think about doing that now. And that's part of the food rotation thing. If I'm going to ferment foods, I need to eat them eventually. If I'm going to eat canned foods, I need to eat them. And I need to be able to cook good things with them. And so it's part of that whole food system.
I like the idea you gave recipes because every prepper I know, they have beans, rice, they have all the basic bulk food. I'll put some salt and pepper in there, and you can get really tired of beans and rice with salt and pepper, but just a little, some herbs or a few more things, you can make a ton of different meals and make that beans and rice, after 9 months after eating rice and beans, you're going to go, oh gosh, it's killing me here. Mm-hmm. But with different flavors and different herbs, spices, and maybe some vegetables mixed in, trust me, it will rock your world. It's like not going to the Waffle House for 10 years. And all of a sudden you go to the Waffle House and you're like, why has it been so long? Where's that good food? It's like Glenn and his waffles. You got to have that something else to live than just beans and rice.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we have a handful of recipes in there for that very reason, so that you can see it's not just about opening a can of beans and sticking a spoon in it.
And you have like the list of like everything you need. If you're the rice, how many calories, the protein, the carbs. And then what scares people the most is I'm looking here. It says one adult, age 45. That's probably about my age, I guess. Maybe close. And it says how many calories do they need in a year? And you guys get into the calories and the carbs and how to survive. And then when you relate what you need to numbers and then correlate that to food, you're going to go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't have enough food.
So when you, it's interesting. And so when you think about, when you look at these charts, and I have to tell you, it was really interesting getting that formatted with Amazon, but on, especially on page 204, 205, those are the charts that that Forrest here is talking about to listeners. I think back, gosh, this was when Glenn and I were first together. We were meeting with a friend in Eastern Washington who was renting a house from another friend, his friend of a friend of a friend, who claimed to be a prepper and said, look, this is this guy's cabinet of preps. And it was, you know, it looked like my... looks like my shoe wasn't much. It was a typical pantry. And I thought to myself, he's a prepper. This is a start right. Because I know this, I know that an average adult, if you look at this chart, like the average adult, I would say just knowing what I know, thinking back to that chart, I think the average adult over the course of a year needs roughly 10 million calories. Welcome. All right. So that's a lot of calories. So when you think about a serving of a, you know, let's just say a typical meal for many people are anywhere between 300 to 500 calories, you know, that, and that's on the lean side. Oh my gosh, how do you get, you know, how much mm-hmm. rice do you need to do that? How much protein do you need to, yeah, it gets really overwhelming, but that's where that's why we break it down that way. All right. So this is where you start organizing. This is where you start planning. And this is where you start, I think if more people started from the aspect of how many calories do I need in a year per person and started their preps from that point of view, things would go so much smoother and be much more streamlined.
Yes. And there is a companion book that goes with this. I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
It goes perfectly with your book and with the food, fruit preps 2.0. And it's called The Preparedness Roadmap. Because okay. What I do in my book, I don't touch food a lot, but I break everything down into 2-month segments. And you do that in this book as well. I mean, that's how people learn. They get overwhelmed mm-hmm. when you say, go buy food, go get ready. But the way you break this down is month 1 and 2, organization and planning, you know, and you freeze dried and you're going through like dairy milk or dried milk and all this stuff, months 3 through 4, months 5 through 6. And you go through 2 years. I only go through 1 year. So people are going to die after my book, I guess. I don't get into the food, but this is all about how to prepare all your food that you need. And even in that, because again, you're a well-balanced person, because a prepper would just say, we need to buy this, we need to buy this, we need right. to buy this and store it. As you know, homesteader or self-sufficient person goes, well, we need to grow this, grow this, grow this. And you combine it together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's not hard to do that. Like, for example, we have chickens. We've had chickens for a long time when we lived in, I've kept chickens even when I lived in a city. It's not hard to keep chickens, and most places will let you have them. So they'll generally give you an egg a day. So right now I have 23 laying hens. So I get about a dozen eggs a day. And if you've ever had chickens, sometimes you're like, all right, what do I can't make that many scrambled eggs. It's, you know, you talk about getting sick of beans and rice. You're going to get sick of eggs, but I can freeze dry those bad boys. And I'll tell you what, I've got, and you go back to the storage, I have tubs and tubs and tubs, and I will have more this summer of freeze-dried scrambled eggs or freeze-dried raw eggs so I can use them as ingredients later. And I can also barter with those, and that is an easy food source. And what if I have some, you know, my chickens lay some eggs and I get some roosters that maybe I don't want because I don't want all the fighting. Got another, I've got a, you know, some meat I can put in my freezer then too. So those you know, having a few little animals and a few little garden things, even if you just put a couple of buckets of tomatoes on your porch this summer because you live in this in an apartment in the city, save the seeds from that, can a few things, maybe ferment some ketchup, maybe ferment some salsa, and you're now starting to get that the skill and the mindset of creating your own food, even if it's just a little bit. You're not going to be able to feed yourself. But I think a goal is for most people, like maybe this, for if you're deciding to go kind of that self-sufficiency route, think about, all right, this first year that we do a garden or maybe have chickens or whatever you want to plan and do, 5 to 10% of your food comes from that. But set a goal and see what happens. So, and start moving that number up a little bit so that when and if a collapse does come along, you can somewhat meaningfully feed yourself and keep yourself alive.
Yes. And so also, I mean, I just love the way you guys put this together and the charts and everything. And you also get into, now you guys, you and Glenn are partnered with, is it Humana?
With New Mana.
New Mana. I'm sorry.
Yes, New that's Mana. Okay.
New Mana freeze-dried food, which is a part of everyone's prep, should be. And I'm sure they can find that information out on your web. You have a link on your show.
Yep. If you go to our website, everything that we talk about today, if you want to look at the book, if you want to look at, you know, the table of contents that we're looking at right now, go to prepping2-0.com. The book link is on the top, but if you go to friends and affiliates, yeah, New Mana Foods is over there. Mm-hmm. Freeze-dried food for preppers, bulk amounts. We're not talking like little single-serving amounts like maybe you would get at Costco for like backpacking or whatever. This is bulk freeze-dried. So if you're thinking to yourself, I need to do something right now because things are tight right now and everything's getting just more expensive and you want to do some real quick, like buy it. I hate to say it, but kind of buy it now and give yourself a leg up. That I do recommend that. That shouldn't be all that you do, but it's definitely a start that will get you kind of a nice big leap forward doing that.
Yes. And also another thing you do, which is awesome, is you kind of have a companion that goes with the book.
We do. We do. What is it?
It's a PDF so they can click and download or not download, but they can download the PDF. But it links to all the products that you listed in the book.
Oh, this is awesome.
That's what you're talking about.
I was thinking of what you were talking about another book. I'm like, I'm not aware of one. But yeah, if you go over, again, this link is over at prepping2-0.com. Right at the top, it says food preps. And over on food preps, it's just one screen. It tells you where you can buy the book. It has a link to the table of contents, but also has the resources guide, which again is all of these links where you can go, okay, I need some, you know, I don't know, fermenting supplies, I need some canning supplies, I need, and I do not want to go scrolling through Amazon and looking at reviews. Those are there for you so that you can do kind of that. I hate to say it because I hesitate doing the buy it now mentality, but at least get yourself, the idea with those is that you get yourself a leg up and you're using your time efficiently so that you can move your preps forward a little faster.
Well, yeah, and also people need canning supplies. They may need the Mylar bags. They may need a sun oven. And all instead of just finding it and trying to pick what's best, you guys have done that for
exactly
to do that. So these are the Mylar bags we're talking about. Click here and boom, it takes you. And that's a great little handy resource for people to have. But you can't click in the book.
Nope. You got to go to, that's truly just a website thing for sure.
So the website and so do you see that you guys are going to, I mean, what's your next big thing?
Our next big thing. So we, you know what, as complete as this guide is, there's probably a part two to this.
A 3.0?
No, with food preps 2.0. Part two or something like part that, or 3.0, I think, because just as we've talked to people about this, I'm like, there's probably a few more things that we could add to this, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to keep this book. We don't want it to be 2 inches thick. We want it to be a launching point in each one of these topics. But I could see that happening. And I could, I know I'm going to say this for myself. I keep saying this and it's going to probably take another 5 years, but I know that there's some more fiction in myself. So, and there's some stories ruminating in my head about that. So I've had enough people say that there's some incomplete they feel like they want to know the rest of the story to some of my characters. So I think there's some little extra side novels that could be coming out. Not anytime soon, but someday.
Maybe your fictional character could move to Montana.
Maybe. We could find out what happened to some of the evil characters. I tell you what, I hit some nerves on some of my evil characters. That's for sure.
I don't think Glenn can. There's all kinds of side books he could do from what he did, but you can't. He went from the beginning to the end. It's hard to add anything in the beginning or end on his books. And I don't know, but the first time I interviewed him, I told him I didn't like him because. I mean, this is a 10 book series. It cost, I mean, when you buy him books, 10 of them, I'm like, okay, he just cost me, you know, a ton of money, but I couldn't stop reading them. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
And that's what's nice with a 10 book series. He can really cover the story of each one of his characters. Mm-hmm. Whereas I kept mine short. Yeah.
Yep. And every time he talks, I love Glenn when he talks, because he always like, oh, he's a real character. Like the insurance guy, is it Pow? He's like, and he always clarifies to make sure everybody knows, oh, no, he's a real character that was in the story. I love that.
Yep. And Pow's been to Montana. Pow has been to our house. So he's a real person, I can attest.
So you guys are... I want to thank you for coming on, but also you guys do an incredible podcast, and that is Prepping 2.0. And you guys are you guys never miss a week of production of putting a podcast out. You just don't.
It's very rare when we miss. If we miss one, it's very rare. Yes.
And that I think it's one of the best podcasts out there. So what do you have in your future? You take on subject matters, you interview people. What's in the future for Shelby and Glenn? I mean, your book is going to become it's a number one bestseller in the world. I mean, and everyone should have this.
Yeah.
On the show, what's going on?
Well, you know, we're always looking for guests. By the way, send me an email for us. I've been trying to get Selko on for a couple of years. I'd love to have Selko on, but we're always looking for good guests. We've had, recently, it was so fun. We had Dr. Patrick Jones, who's a really amazing herbalist. How to make medicine out of, you know, weeds that grow in your backyard, like your dandelions and stuff. Really, and super funny guy. I'd love to have him on some more. We have, I know Glenn has put together a couple of guests. I'm going to be putting together a fermenting show here soon using some of the newer tools and technology that I've discovered that have made it so much more, you can be more confident. See, the thing about fermenting is that you're like, is that mold or is that, okay. And then, you know, you have to think about throwing it out. New technology, new tools that make that such a much easier controlled process where you can really have confidence in your food and what you're preserving. So I'm going to be doing a show on that soon. Are the growing season gets underway, going to be talking more about that and the self-sufficiency side of it. So, you know, we kind of just roll with it and we're always looking for new ideas and guests. So, yeah, maybe we'll have you on again, Forrest. Yeah.
You ever had mountain cider? Is it fire mountain?
Fire cider?
Fire cider. Is that it? That stuff is real.
That stuff will wake you up real quick.
It will. I've had that and it rocked my world. I'm like, whoa.
So for those of you who are listening, fire cider, and I've done some history on this too. It's a tonic. You take like a little shot of it every day and it's an immune booster and it's better than a shot of coffee. Let me tell you, it's apple cider vinegar. And there's about four or five common ingredients. And then people have done all kinds of things. Generally there's horseradish, garlic, onion, sometimes like elderberry, something with a little vitamin C in there. And then people add all kinds of things. You put that in a tincture for about a month. Nothing's going to die in that, by the way. There's no way something's going to grow that's evil, that's going to kill you in that because it's so potent. Take a shot of that every day. Woo! That'll keep you.
It'll wake dead people up.
and it all goes, and there's a recent book, and this is just a plug, by the woman out there that is the gal on herbal medicine is Rosemary Gladstar. And she just came out with a book on Firesider that has got tons and tons of recipes in it on how to do it. And there's lots and lots of testimonials in there about how people are like, you take that once a day, you will not get a common cold. It will boost your immunity like nothing else will. So yeah, Firesider is kind of fun. And that's a world that I've been kind of getting into the last few years too, especially if you've listened to our show, you know, I've talked about things like that a lot.
Well, Shelby, thank you for sharing about your book and the stories. And I was wanting to get some good stories that I could really rag Glenn on, but I didn't get any of them this time. But
oh, darn.
But thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations on the book. It's a great book. You're married forever now. Just say, I mean, because you have to be, because you're, my wife's name, she would never, actually today she goes, I got a great idea for a book for you. And I don't want to share it because it's somewhat okay.
Good.
So we may do a book together. But thank you so much for coming on the show and, everyone, you can find her at Prepping 2.0 is
2-0.com. It's because you can't have a two periods right in your whatever. So we did a dash instead of a period. Yeah, Prepping 2-0.com.
And then she's the author of The Great State. There's three book series to that. There's Divide, The Aftermath, and The Rescue. And then Glenn, I know we talk about, but he has the 299 Days series, which is just amazing. The first series or books I read in the prepping industry when it came. I mean, I just didn't know people were writing about this stuff. So, but yes, but thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for being a friend, you and Glenn. And I wish you guys the best. And we're going to send this out to everyone to make sure the whole world hears it and they'll know about your book.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And it's like meeting up with an old friend when I get to talk to you. So thank you so much. It's been a really great day with you.
It's been great. Thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, we'll see you next time on the Prepping Academy.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.